Hello and welcome to Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy, as we get to know the Olympians representing Team GB at the 2022 Winter Games in Beijing. Over the next four episodes, I'll be sitting down with the Team GB athletes who will be skating, sliding, jumping, losing their way to success in Beijing 2022. And I'm not alone. Joining me on this journey is a winter sports expert, a legend of the game, winner of three X Games gold medals, and Team GB's first ever Olympic medalist on snow. It's 2014 Olympic slopestyle bronze medalist Jenny Jones. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rhys.
Happy with my intro?
Yes.
Very, very well decorated. There's a lot to say. You'd struggle to find... You wouldn't fill a paragraph like that if you were introing me.
What would be your competition high
on your CV? He's got one of his swimming badges. He won three out of the 5 days on Richard Osman's House of Games, but lost the overall week. That sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Take that.
Pointless celebrity semi-finalist, quarter-finalist. God, even I'm bigging it up. This is awful. About 10 years ago, third place, Comedy Central's funniest student. So I've actually, it's the same level of medals, really.
So about the Olympics.
I've got some fantasy football trophies, It's similar. The dedication I've put in, actually, is... I'd argue greater. Now, listen, Jenny, we are just a few days away from the start of Beijing 2022, the Winter Olympics. What is that feeling like for an athlete when you're that close? And obviously, anticipation is building. Are you completely zoned in, or are you nervous about it, or are you just zen? Or is it different for everyone?
Yeah, it's definitely different for everyone. I definitely wasn't nervous at that point. I think if I had been, I'd be a bit worried, because it's more that you're just absolutely stoked that you've made it. I'm on the team, I'm going to the Olympics, and you're like checking out your kit, because you've got this haul of like Team GB kit that you're stoked on. And then you're like, right, I've got to get on the flight, got to say my goodbyes, got to download some things to watch.
Yeah, just normal travel admin. It's not necessarily Olympic themed.
No.
Just your classic, where's my passport? Do I have the boarding passes?
Yeah, all that sort of thing, which is quite good because it's like a distraction.
In the summer, we were doing relay. Everyone was banging on about this kit day that's amazing, and everyone was like, some of them, naming no names, Bianca Walkden, were talking about how they went and nicked as much stuff as possible, and they took way more than they needed. Is there like a big day where you get to go and collect everything?
Well, every athlete has a different situation because sometimes you're not home, so you can't, and you get sent it. Mm. But going to the actual kit day is great. I think this year, everyone's getting sent their kit.
Right. But,
so when it arrives and you open up the kit bag, oh my God, it is off the chart because you're just like, whoa, there's like...
Is that when it becomes official?
It's really weird. It is. There's something about it because it's your country as well. You're like, I'm representing my country and the stuff's there. But if I was at the kit day, there has been, situations where you've been in, let's see what we can...
Yeah, I want an extra one.
You just would, wouldn't you?
Does that mean there's someone who has to go without? Could you potentially be stripping another athlete of their entire kit?
No, you definitely get some extras of things because you want your crew to have some of the gear, like your physio, they want a T-shirt.
They're not invited to the kit day?
They have a separate kit day.
But the nerd kit day for losers. I hear what you're saying. I'm reading between the lines here, Jenny, actually. I know the feeling, actually. Like you say, if you open it and it's the Team GB thing and you feel proud, because thanks to doing this podcast, when we did the summer one, I was gifted a lovely Team GB track jacket that I would wear to the gym. And then people would watch me wearing it at the gym and assume, that must be how you do that exercise then.
Yeah.
Because my form probably would be terrible. People go, clearly there's an Olympian. I mean, how arrogant am I to think they looked at me and went, he must be an Olympian rather than he's stolen a jacket, which is what it looked like more. this boy's father has given him a jacket.
He obviously went and watched one of the events.
This guy's really weirdly obsessed with it. Actually, they probably looked at it and thought, I bet that guy hosts a podcast about the Olympics. do you have any... when you pack in that suitcase and getting all the travel admin ready, are there any like lucky items that you can't go without, or do you not get into superstitions?
I'd love to say that I wasn't someone that had like slight superstitions, but I did and I do. And I had specific knickers for semi-final stays and final stays.
But not the early rounds. You don't need the luck in the early rounds because you're definitely getting to the semi-final. Is that why?
But I would only wear them on those contest days, and they would get washed and cleaned and ready for the next semi-final and then the final,
Have you got any evidence to suggest these hold any luck? Other than obviously, look, you won loads of competitions, but surely you have to go without and not win to know for sure.
I would make sure I had a similar style of pants as well. So if that was the case. No, I've never not been without them. But there's been times as well when it happens the other way. So if I don't do well and I've put on a new piece of kit, that's out.
Right.
That kit
I know what you mean. I've had that before.
Yeah.
If I wear a brand new shirt for a gig and I die on my arse, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's out. I'm never wearing it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But new pair of trainers and they don't work. Yeah. They were too clean.
To the charity shop, to your friend.
Is there anything performance enhancing about this underwear that you're referring to? So like, without trying to be too graphic, but is there some sort of performance enhancing? You mentioned before in passing, in conversation we've had, about a certain bum pad you need for snowboarding so that it doesn't hurt when you fall over.
I was just advising that for yourself were to ever try snowboarding.
Sure, just for beginners. There's nothing like that. There's nothing protective in this underwear. It's just happens to be lucky.
There's nothing.
It's just magic.
It's simply in my mind. It has to be, doesn't it? It's in my mind.
Now, I mean, look, I'm into the Olympics. The listeners of this show will know that. I've always found the Winter Olympics to be slightly less accessible than the Summer Olympics. Now, I know you look furious. No, you don't. I know I'm saying that to a Winter Olympian, so I'm not slagging it off. What I mean is, every town has a football pitch you can go and play football on, or maybe it's just that the summer has more sports. It has tennis courts, or you know, you can go play basketball. These are all Summer Olympic sports. It's quite rare that you find somewhere you could go and do the skeleton, for example, and then get good at that as a child.
Yeah, I would agree.
So a lot of these sports, it's like, you know, there's more and more dry ski slopes and stuff.
I think there's way more, snow centres, snow domes, dry ski slopes. You've got, you know, the resorts up in Scotland as well. So you can definitely access skiing and snowboarding a lot more easily than maybe, I don't know, luge or bobsleigh. Yeah.
Now, of course, this isn't the first time the Olympics have been held in Beijing. They hosted the Summer Games back in 2008, my beloved Summer Games. But it is the first time their city has hosted both the Summer and the Winter Games. It's also the first time I've hosted both a Summer and Winter Olympics podcast. Now, let's just cast our minds back to the last series of relay, the Summer Olympics, Tokyo 2021. So it seems as though I am going to be the next Olympic ping pong star for Team GB after one practice. Do you think rowing, have we got any chance of getting in the rowing team?
Is there a sport in the Winter Olympic Games that we can legitimately put you forward for?
I don't know, maybe the luge. Maybe me and you both go into the breakdancing as a double act. Or maybe we just start a bobsled team. Maybe we do that and get in the winters.
I'm not going to do skateboarding.
Curling.
Okay? I don't have the knees for curling anymore.
And that, dear listeners of Relay, is a lesson in why you should be careful what you say in front of a podcast microphone. It turns out words have meaning, actions have consequences. Because Vernon and his band of Team GB Elves have decided it would be entertaining somehow to see if my mouth was writing checks my body couldn't cash. That's right, in each episode of this series, we'll be finding out a little bit about an event, meeting the Team GB athletes we'll all be rooting for, and then I'll be highlighting why they're the Olympians and I'm not by trying their sport on for size. Now, look, I get the idea here, Jenny, but on the last series, frequently, I was trying to provide light entertainment, okay? So I would say little jokes as if, you know, I could do any Olympic sport, I'm better than all of you. I was joking, okay? The producers and Vernon, they've taken this way too seriously. Now they're setting me up to fail. Surely this is unfair.
I want to see if you can actually do this. You seem to sort of think it was quite easy, no?
Well, okay, let's see. I'll see if I think it's easy. What's the first sport that I've got to try?
I've had a think about this, and I think the one that you also mentioned was curling.
Main thing I said is I don't have the knees for curling. I've only got older since then. The knees have only deteriorated further.
Reese, we're going to be heading to Stirling's National Curling Academy. How much do you know about it, Reese?
Well, I don't know exactly. I've done some shuffleboard. That's pretty similar. It's you're trying to get a thing I don't know what it's called, to the end of a thing within a target.
Have you watched it on the telly? Have you seen,
Yeah, you know. There was I can't remember exactly. I think it might be 2002 Winter Olympics. There was that year where everyone suddenly turned it on. I was a child. I would have been 11. My parents suddenly took an interest in curling for the first time because they're glory hunters and they would have seen that we were in a final. I think the women's team won gold that year. And we were in a final, and so everyone suddenly went, oh my God, we're suddenly massive fans of curling, just how British people often do with sport. we just get to a final and go, great, I love this sport, I've always loved this sport. But no, but that's the only real memory I have is sort of suddenly I was aware of curling and then we instantly won.
Did you have your broom coming out the cupboard?
Yeah,
were you like just sort of sweeping the floor?
Well, it was the Harry Potter era as well, actually. So the broom was already out. that broom was went everywhere with me at the time. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I couldn't tell you the rules. I couldn't tell you much about it at all. What about you? You must know some curlers, right? You must have met some curlers in your time.
Yeah, well, obviously the curling team, when I was out there in 2014, Eve Muirhead, who was the skipper, they did really well at that Olympics.
Yeah, they got bronze, the women's team. They got bronze. The men's team got silver in 2014. And I've got the stats in front of me here, actually. It must be 2002, the one I was talking about in Salt Lake City, because 5.7 million people tuned in to watch Rona Howie skipper GB to gold that year. And I was one of those 5.7 million.
All I would say is, have you got strong quads?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, people say, yeah. I've got the strongest quads in the podcasting game.
Okay.
People say, read the reviews of this.
Right, enough chat, Reese. Get your bags packed. We need to get to Stirling.
There's no getting out. This is the... All right, next stop, the National Curling Academy to meet our first Team GB athletes. Well, this is very exciting, Jenny, isn't it? We've got our first guests on season two of Relay, and they are reigning world champions in curling's mixed doubles event. They head to Beijing with shots at two medals, as they also represent Team GB in men's and women's team events. It's curling superstars Jen Dodds and Bruce Maurer. Jen, Bruce, welcome to the show. How's it going? How are you both keeping? I understand you've just finished a training session here.
We have, yeah. No, we're both doing well. We've just had two games in our men's and women's teams, so we were... not training together today, but we'll be doing that later this week.
How's the confidence? Is it sky high?
It's been going good, I would say. Probably both in both of our teams, like mixed doubles and men's and ladies. We had a couple of competitions between Christmas and New Year and then just into the new year, and we performed well at them. So it was kind of a good confidence boost as we hadn't really played together much sort of the first half of the season. So having those two events kind of gave us that real confidence boost like we had in May at Worlds, kind of leading into Beijing.
Well, speaking of confidence boosts, I am about to try your sport of curling for the very first time in my pathetic life. And look, I've got some basic questions up top. Now, these aren't for me, okay? I'm an expert. I know this stuff. It's for the uninitiated, the listeners, the idiots back at home listening to this, who please do continue to subscribe and review us with 5 stars. But firstly, what's the thing called that you chuck down the ice?
We'd say we'd be throwing a stone. Another one is like the rings. Most people call it the rings. We call it the house. There's a couple examples of kind of curling terminology.
So you're trying to get stones in a house. So when you hear an estate agent say that a house is a stone's throw away, that means something completely different to you.
So true.
What about the brushes? Are they just called brushes, or is there some sort of technical name for them?
No, you hit that one on the head. That's a brush. And then we sweep with the brush. Yeah?
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
We try to keep something simple.
Do you have lucky brushes or lucky stones that you want to use? You know, in bowling, if you go bowling and then sometimes you hit a really good shot, so you want to use that ball again. Is it the same thing? Do you have a certain stone you're like, oh, you know, that's going to get me in the house? I'm learning.
I don't, anyway.
I don't. No.
We all have our own brushes, but we don't really think they're lucky, I suppose. We all just use them each day in each kind of session, and then the stones change literally every game you play, so you don't really have your own stones. I don't actually own any curling stones.
Yeah, neither do I. So, like... each ice rink.
Really?
Yeah, so each ice rink have the sets of stones already there. So, like, when we go to the Olympics, they're going to be stones already there.
How do you know if they've not been, like, sabotaged?
Yeah, tampered with.
Yeah.
Would you recognise that immediately? Are they all the same way?
All 8 stones are probably, like, just slightly differently. So we get practice to kind of match stones to kind of get sort of two as close together as possible. And then the skip will probably get the best, what we think the best two are, and then... probably going further down the order, you kind of might have them, they're a wee bit mismatched, and they could be a wee bit slower, or one could curl a little more, but that's kind of part of the game as well. So it's not sabotage, it's probably another aspect of the game. You kind of need to figure out what the stones are doing, so that's something we'll have to be doing in Beijing, because we've never played with these stones before.
Oh, so Reese will have, you'll have to check the stones, Reese, when you first get
look,
on there.
I've got a feeling mine are going to have been tampered with. I think the results will show that mine were tampered with. Okay. what's the situation with this footwear, okay? Because to be honest, look, I've watched a bit of curling in my time, but I always thought it was skates, and then I've got here and I've been shown some school shoes with like tap shoes, effectively. what's going on here?
So one shoe is what we call a grippy shoe, which is basically just like a normal trainer. It's probably got a wee bit more grip than it kind of to keep us stable. But our other shoe has got, most of them have got Teflon underneath it. So it's really slidey and that's how we kind of slide about the ice. So yeah, a lot of people do think it's skates, but I don't think the Iceman would be very happy if we came out on skates and mucked up their ice. Yeah.
I like how you've gone similarly route one by calling it a grippy shoe. That's sort of on brand for what you've said so far. Is there a name for the other shoe? If not, can I pitch Slippy Shoe?
Slider?
Yeah, Slider.
Ah, it's a slider. It's got Slippy a name. Shoe. Damn it. Yeah. Grippy Shoe, Slippy Shoe. It was the perfect double axe at Tannendeck. Why would you not just aim at the centre all the time? I know there's tactics that come into it, because am I right in thinking that you're supposed to lay down blockers or guards? Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
guards,
you're doing well.
Yep.
Yes.
Basically, it's like it's all to do with tactics, and like we're trying to almost protect the rings first or the house, and then eventually we're going to start coming into the middle. So it's like a waiting game, I suppose. Like we're trying to basically plan ahead, and then eventually we'll start going into the middle a bit more.
And sometimes when you're watching, when you're doing, you see like the amount of curl on it is like a Beckham level of curl on some of these. How difficult is that to do for you, but also for me, a novice who's about to try it for the first time? Well, am I just never going to be able to get any curl on it to begin with?
You'll actually get quite a lot of curl, even for sort of beginners. The curl is always probably pretty naturally there. For us, we really enjoy swinging ice. You kind of can play some sort of more tactical shots if it's really curling.
But will Reese, is it swing the ice?
I said swing the ice. When the ice is swinging.
When the ice is swinging. Ice is swinging. My God, Van Morrison.
He'll be able to curl it really easily, but will he actually be able to aim it that well? Because, no offence, I'm just not sure Reese will.
After about an hour of training, you'll be able to slide and you'll be able to throw it and you'll be able to get the curl.
I've got to do a whole hour before I'm competent.
He needs about half an hour to flex up his hamstrings, I think.
Now, as soon as I arrived in the building, the first question was, what's your flexibility like? And that terrified me. Is there an element of yoga to this? I've seen how low some of you get with your lunges. Have I got to do some stretching before?
I would stretch before.
Yeah.
You'll be sore tomorrow if you don't stretch. Like, it's a lot of quad strength, and like making sure that you can lunge is a really good thing.
What's the most common mistake beginners do?
When we're talking about having a grippy sole and a slidey sole, like, make sure you have most of your weight on your grippy sole. Do not put the weight on the slidey sole,
when you're standing,
or you'll end
up
on your bum.
Other than that, is there one main tip that I need to go into this with, whether it's a mental tip or a physical tip, other than balance on the grippy sole, which again sounds like a beautiful song? Is there anything I need to bear in mind?
I guess confidence is always key. Just kind of go in with a lot of confidence and make sure
you... I think Jen and Bruce don't want to tell you their secret weapon.
No, yeah, they're holding it back.
Yeah.
If this goes out too early, then all the other teams are going to hear it, aren't they? They're going to go, oh, okay, that's what GB's secret weapon is it? Fair enough. Okay, well, I'm going to go and practice, and hopefully, if it goes well, I'll see you on the plane. But we'll catch up with you in a bit anyway.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
Okay, we're all here. We're at the National Curling Academy in Stirling. Any background noise you hear, it's not my stomach. I am nervous, but it's got nothing to do with it. It's just obviously stones are going down. People are curling in here. Of course they are. What else would you do in here? Now, Nancy and Rebecca, you've kindly taken some time out to teach me, a novice, how to do this sort of stuff. We're going to have sort of, I guess you're going to run me through sort of like a crack course, a quick little session that's going to get me up to scratch to get me on that plane to Beijing. I think that's what you said. Is that what you said? How do we start? What's the first step to get me on the ice?
So let's just start with some squats.
Oh, good.
Squats.
Okay.
So we'll just do like 10 of these.
Would I be further? Is that as far as I have to go, or will I need to go further than
that?
Yeah,
that's good.
I could.
There's room for more.
Yeah. Now I'm showing off.
Now he's proven he can get in the position. Shall we? So what we need to do is get you some equipment.
Okay.
So we'll head over to the end of the rink, Reese, and we'll give you some equipment so that you're all equipped and you're going to be a professional curler.
Okay, those are your words. I'll hold you to that.
We're going to make you a gold medalist. So, Reese, we're now onto the ice. I just want to familiarise yourself just being on the ice. So, typically for a curler, if you're right-handed, which I believe you are.
I am.
So you're going to have a slippy slider on your left foot.
Sure. Slippy shoe,
so
grippy
you,
shoe.
Not only are you on slippy ice, you're going to also have a slippy slider.
Double
which
slip.
Is then will hopefully get you sliding gracefully along the ice. which Rebecca will demonstrate as well. So we're going to give you
don't
a slip
hold
slider.
Out for grace.
This is going to feel pretty slippy initially, but we want you to put 1 foot on the slider.
Oh my god, now, it's so slippy.
I'll just give you this brush for balance.
Okay.
So you can put it down on the ice.
Okay, so Reese is almost looks like he's already injured. As he tries to 1 foot.
I feel like Bambi. Okay, so just the little steps like that.
Yeah, you're going. There we go.
That's fast. Oh, we're
is it
in
too
for
fast?
He's
is it too fast? Yeah.
He's past stage one.
Yeah.
Let's get him sliding.
Right, what's next, Rebecca?
I think we'll demonstrate the slide.
Yeah. So, right foot in the hack. Slidey foot to the side. Her stone in her right hand. So we're just going to go through a few steps. So it's just a little push forward with the stone. Lift the hips. Pull back. Slider and stone. And then all the weight on the slider comes past the hack. Stone moves forward at the same time. Weight under the slider. Kick. And release by the hop line.
Well, there's a standard elegance there that I don't intend to upkeep.
Oh, Reese, careful.
Genuinely, it is nerve-wracking. It's really nerve-wracking, so I'm just trying to balance the foot correctly.
The slider is going to go forward. You're going to put your weight on it. And stone goes forward at the same time. And slide.
Oh, I've gone off here. I've gone over here. I've gone slightly to the left. Is that all right?
So now just step off the slider.
Now, let me ask you something. Can I use these sides like I'm bowling and bounce them off? It'd be very useful to me because I...
Pinville.
Yeah. Can I just wander over here pinville. And go bang, 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 straight in the middle?
Yeah.
New tactic.
Yeah, let's just keep going.
And he's pushing slide. Off.
Smirt. Really? Oh, no, I let go immediately and I didn't do anything you said and I've turned fully around.
I feel like Reese's body rotated more than that.
I turned more than that.
And the stone.
You know what?
I turned more than the stone and it's all right. I just need to like do this maybe 600-700 more times and I would have it down.
Yeah. Use those hamstrings.
And yo.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do I turn around every time? Why do I turn fully around every time?
That's gonna be close.
I need a sweeper. A sweeper and that's perfect.
Run down, sweep it.
Everyone around me, too lazy, go and sweep.
That is in play.
Reese, if you're left hand down, you come this side of the stone, it might be easier. Rebecca is going to be your other sweeper. So you come this side, and what you're going to do is you're going to put the pad down, and you're trying going to put as much weight over it to create friction. So all you're going to do is try and sweep in front of the stone, which is the running band. And
so just small little sweeps in front of the stone.
All your weight on the stone, and keep moving your feet.
And as much weight as possible.
Look how like, you need to get the footwork going.
I've got to be much quicker than that, right?
Sweep, Reese.
Yep, sweep. Harder,
Reese.
Harder.
Harder.
Harder. Harder. Harder. Harder. Harder. Harder. Harder. Harder.
Go, go, go.
Keep going.
Keep going. Keep going. Sweep harder.
Harder.
Harder. Hard. Well done, by the way. Awesome.
Yeah. It's not too bad. Right. Thank you so much, guys. That's my training session over.
How did you find it? How did you find it?
You know, I didn't feel like, by the end of it, I was like, yeah, we didn't need to do, after the first sort of 5 minutes, it was like, clearly I've got this.
Really?
I've nailed it, it's over. You straight away, these guys, they were like, I've never seen anything like it. I think that was positive.
What did you think?
You might be twisting it a little.
This episode of Relay is supported by GoDaddy, Team GB's official domain name, website builder and web hosting partner at the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympic Games.
So Bruce and Jen still join us. Beijing is just days away, the culmination, obviously, of a lot of work. But what we want to know here on the Relay podcast is, where did it begin? Bruce, I hear that you started when you were really young, when you were about 8. Is that correct? Where did you get this interest from curling to begin with?
Well, it was my dad that introduced me to the sport. He saw a newspaper article. He basically took me along to the junior club that was advertising. And that's where I met Jen for the first time. And we both started in Goger Park, and then we're now curling at Murrayfield in Edinburgh.
So when you met there, were there loads of kids there? It doesn't seem like, you know, the sort of sport that you'd get loads of 8 to 10-year-olds involved in, but there was the two of you. So were there loads more?
Yeah, there was. I mean, we both have a lot of friends that have maybe stepped back from the sport, but we were still kind of connected to them in some way. Like Jen's got family that curled and cousins that have curled previously, and I've still got a lot of friends that I kind of contact as well, and it was really nice to have that kind of social atmosphere in a curling club as well.
Were you a great match straight away, or was it a bit awkward or anything at the beginning?
I never felt too awkward. No, it was quite enjoyable just kind of being there, and it was like almost like a kids club for a while, I suppose.
Yeah, I think because of the social aspect, it's almost like you're with your friends at the beginning and you're kind of having fun with your friends, but you're playing curling at the same time. So I think it's made it so enjoyable. And I think that's kind of still really important to us now, is enjoying the sport, because that's why we started and that's why we're continuing it, is just the enjoyment of the game.
Did you do a lot of other ice-based sports when you were younger as well? Did you like get the skill for skating just to get comfortable on the ice, or was it just curling?
I was terrible at skating.
Yeah, I can't skate.
No. We were probably more sort of summer sports, like you were into swimming and golf and stuff like that. I was like swimming and running and stuff like that. So we did have other sports, but you kind of get to that age, kind of around when you're a teenager, you kind of have to kind of focus in on one. And thankfully, we both picked curling.
Yeah.
What does that training look like now? Mm. So do you have to do a lot of gym work, or is it just on the ice? Or
yeah, we do a lot of gym work. We train in the gym 3 days a week on strength-based stuff, and then 2 days a week we do conditioning. There's a lot of kind of, as we've kind of said, like a lot of kind of lunging and strength in your quads. And then on top of that, you've got the sweeping. So you have to be kind of strong upper body to make that stone glide further and curl more or less, depending on what you want to do with it.
When you're training on the ice, is it you're just kind of playing like rounds, or are there like drills that you can do?
We've got quite a lot of drills that we do, and then there's like loads of cameras around like the building, and you'll see them just behind each sheet. And we do a lot of kind of video analysis stuff. So we're trying to like, there's a thing called a plumb line. So you're trying to like drill the plumb line, is what we say. So I don't know, that's going to sound weird, but we're trying to like basically perfect the slide every time you're throwing. And then it's really hard to do that, obviously, but we do that, and then we also do like training drills. So we've got like weight control, which anything from like a draw through to a hit. So there's quite a few things that we do like on the ice. But as we say, like we're quite busy on the ice and then in the gym, and we manage to fill our days.
Well, those cameras have been switched on all day. I mean, are you going to be coming in tomorrow having a good laugh at everything I've been through, or could they be turned off or covered up in some way?
Oh no, we'll make sure your coach gets them switched on so we can watch tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. For God's sake, this is the last thing I want.
The plumb line!
Oh no. I brought my own camera so I could have control of the edit. I didn't think you'd be filming it as well. This is a disaster. But look, it's not about me. It is. It is about me. But you've become Team GB's first ever Olympic representatives for curling's mixed doubles event. Now, how does that feel for a pair like you, who obviously met each other when you were so young, hit it off immediately, and then to come all the way to this stage? That must feel pretty special, right?
Yeah, I think it is pretty special. I think we've never had a mixed doubles representative for Team GB before, so I think that's really special to be kind of the first pair and to do it with Bruce, who I've been friends with since you were probably about eight. So it's really good that we have that friendship as well. I think that is probably key to this team, is kind of having that friendship there. I know not all friends could probably play together, but I'd say we're pretty good at it. So.
You must be. You're the world champions. What was that day like when that happened? You know, at the end of that day, that must have felt amazing.
Yeah, that was a very, very special day for both of us. I think it was just a kind of whirlwind, because we were away in Canada for like 5 weeks, both of us. And then we kind of came home, had about two training sessions before we went up to Aberdeen together. And we just played so well all week. And then we managed to have a really good semi-final, and we were kind of behind in the final. So it was a lot of kind of tension, and she nearly made her last shot to win. But it was a measure as well. So it literally came down to like the smallest little centimeter.
Oh, that's the best way to win.
It was, yeah. I was kind of crouching down thinking, I think we've won. And then they were kind
of
doing
I wasn't giving
it.
You anything though, because I was like, oh my God, because you can go to an extra end if it's tied. You would play another end. So in my head, I was like, okay, I need to do this if it's an extra end. And Bruce was standing there, like, he's like, I think we won, but you're not giving me anything here. Like,
oh my God.
God, does the pressure change between you both? Or do you notice that one of you reacts differently with the pressure than the other?
I think we're both actually pretty similar with the pressure. Mm-hmm. I think like we try and have a laugh during all the games that we play, so we're not trying to like be too serious. And if it is getting too serious, then we know we're doing something wrong. And like every time we're even in the final there, we were laughing quite a lot, mm-hmm. and enjoying ourselves. And then like the last kind of stone obviously happened, and then both of us just kind of went silent, just kind of like, what do we do now? But, both of us kind of deal with it the same way. So we know how the other person is feeling, which is another key part to how we're having success, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we kind of balance each other out quite well, like because we know we both like having that wee bit of like a laugh and kind of breaking the tension with kind of having fun. But we know when to kind of have those moments and the moments we need to be serious as well. So I think we just kind of balance each other out so well. If someone is maybe getting a wee bit kind of tense, the other one knows how to bring them back. So it's just kind of, yeah.
We're the opposite of that. Whenever I'm feeling nervous about, for example, curling, Jenny's on my back going, you're going to be rubbish, you don't know what you're doing. So how did you celebrate when you won then? Did you... Big night out? Did you go out and get hammered? There's got to be some sort of party.
No, I was exhausted. I literally came back from Ladies Worlds. And so that was back from Calgary. I think you'd been back for a week before that. So I got back from Calgary. I think I had not even 48 hours in my flat. And then I was up to Aberdeen. So I was completely exhausted after that. So
everything was kind of shut down as well. Like it was almost like we were in lockdown at the time. So we kind of went back to our coach's house, had a few drinks there, got a taxi back to mine. I think we had one more drink there and went to bed. It was an anticlimax almost.
But Beijing 2022 will be the first Olympics for both of you, won't it? What are you expecting from that experience?
Oh, I don't know. It's like everyone keeps on telling us that it's so much different to all the other championships that we go to, but I'm just excited to kind of feel part of the bigger team. And like we've got the Team GB logos and stuff, and everything's kind of like building up to getting to wear all the kit and stuff, and that's really exciting. And I don't really know what it's going to feel when we're out there, but like we're just going to try and take it like we did at the World Championship, and that obviously went so well for us. So mm-hmm. if something like that is to happen, then I think we'll do very well out there.
Mm-hmm. I think it is going to be a wee bit different this year because obviously like fans are not really able to be in spectating or anything and like that. Our friends and family, unfortunately, are not able to be there. So I think what we would probably imagine in the past, it's not going to be the same because of COVID. So I think that's going to be different, but I think that's not going to bother us too much. As we've said, we've competed in front of no crowds in the bubble, like the bubble in Calgary and in the bubble in Aberdeen. So I don't think that'll affect us too much, I would say.
Could you play out some sounds of like your crew cheering that you can just take with you?
Yeah, get some pre-recorded crowd sounds to cheer you up. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just every time we make a shot, we'll press a button.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
the
exactly. I do it with laugh tracks. Have you got any pre-match like superstitions that you do? Any songs you need to listen to G yourself up before you go out?
I don't.
No, neither do I. Just have a coffee and make sure I'm awake. That's the main thing, I guess.
Really? I would have guessed Ice Baby, but maybe that's too on the nose. Well, guys, we wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to, you know, I know just how difficult curling is now, so I'm looking forward to seeing you show me how it's done when you're out there. And best of luck. We know you can do it.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you too.
Okay, Rhys, this is your Go Daddy challenge. Okay, you're on the curling, you're on the sheet. Look all the way down there.
Yep.
126 feet away from us is that red line. That is your bronze medal.
That's too far.
Go Daddy bronze. Yep.
Go Daddy drive a hard bargain.
Okay, look even further beyond that. You've got a circle with red and blue in it.
Yep.
That is called a house. I'm not being fussy. Anywhere inside there for your Go Daddy silver medal.
Oh, God.
Okay, then, can you see right in the middle, there's a tiny little white bit. That's called a button.
Okay.
Yeah. In there, if you get your throwing stone anywhere in there, then that is a Go Daddy gold.
In there? That's what you have to do to actually win gold in the Olympics.
You can do it.
So you're telling me to get Go Daddy gold, no offence, but I've got to do what you have to do to get Olympic gold. Why would I not just train for the Olympics? How am I possibly going to do this?
You can do this.
All right, if you say so.
If he really focuses, do you think he can get one of these GoDaddy medals?
I reckon he's pretty determined, actually. I reckon you can get it in the house. I'm not sure about getting it on the button, but I'll
gold
maybe...
Gold is never out of reach.
No.
Gold
I'll go
is
for silver.
Never out of
it's
reach.
It's just very, very far away.
It's never out of reach.
Never.
It's never out of reach.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Look, I'm going for platinum, as I say, but I'll take a gold. If I have to take a gold, I'll take a gold.
But also, we have a good sweeper, because Rebecca's going to try and sweep your stone as well.
I'm going to have sweepers?
Yeah.
This is what I've been lacking the whole time. This is
we
what
haven't
I was
told you this, and I'm your skip.
Oh,
so well, we're a team.
How can we lose?
So we can do
so
this.
So really,
eh?
If I don't get a medalist, on you guys.
I'm Bob Ballard in Stirling, and this is Rhys James' first GoDaddy challenge. He's just preparing himself on the ice now with that distinctive sixth form common room look.
Okay, right. I'm on my mark. I'm crouching down. This is it. Oh, God, the CCTV's on me, and I know it is. I don't want Bruce and Jen laughing at this tomorrow over a cup of tea. They need to be saluting at least. I've got to get on that plane. This is it, my big moment. Oh, dear God. Why did I act so confidently?
Can he get a good release on the stone and stop himself spinning like he did in practice? Well, here goes. Well, that's a great push-off and release. It looks very, very good right now.
Shout sweep.
I've done my classic sweep. It's actually quite good. The line's not
oh
bad.
Oh, my God.
Yep. It's actually not bad.
Surely this is a medal.
It's actually good. Come on.
Well, it's past the bronze line.
Well, I put a bit of curl
he's
on there for you guys.
It's heading to the
oh,
house.
Yes. Take a look at that little curl
right
I put in there.
I think he's going to get it.
Yeah!
We're getting excited. It's lining up with a button. Now, could
the
this
line.
Be
is
gold?
It be a silver?
And it's bronze.
Too much to be in bronze. The house.
The opportunity has quite literally slipped away. Too much force. But it is a brilliant bronze for Rhys to start off with.
Bronze!
It's simply yay! A bronze.
Woo! Bronze!
They're happy. I'm livid.
Help
but I've
me.
Got to take it.
Yay!
I've got to take it.
How was that for you? Are you proud of your moment?
No, actually, if I'm honest, I thought it looked like it was going genuinely in the gold. I genuinely was like, well, that's going to stop any second ago in the gold. But
it's interesting though because I thought it was going too slow.
I thought that too. I thought this is never even going to make it. I'm never even going to make it to bronze. So I was grateful when it went over the hog line, but I was furious to see it go past. It was not what I wanted to see.
I'd be proud of you. I think you should be very proud of your bronze medal.
Well, there's a few more opportunities to get some GoDaddy golds along the way, so hopefully I'm going to take one of those. But mainly, I'm incredibly grateful to have caught the curling bug, and I'm grateful to prove to Vernon that I do have the knees for it. The knees were not the issue. I had too much power.
And how good was Nancy and Rebecca here?
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So grateful for their expertise.
Do you think any of Jen and Bruce's tips helped?
Confidence, I suppose. I was relatively confident. The tip about the weight, which foot you put the weight on, I actually had mixed messages about that across the day, frankly, but I prefer their tip. It's really disconcerting putting your weight on the slippy shoe versus the grippy shoe, as I elegantly named it. But thank you so much to the National Curling Academy for inviting us here. This was a lot of fun. Not happy with the result, but we go again. That's it for this episode of Relay, the Team GB podcast. This was a TBI Media production. Please do give Relay a follow wherever you get your podcasts, and you can listen to the other three episodes right now. Give us a review, 5 stars only, please. And thank you, Jenny, of course, for getting me through this curling challenge and getting me a medal.
No problem, Rhys. Thank you.
This episode of Relay was supported by GoDaddy, Team GB's official domain name, website builder, and web hosting partner of the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympic Games. Stop! Before you go on to episode 2, make sure you follow Team GB's socials, where they will have all the clips of the challenges from this series of Relay, all the visuals of my successes and my failures. Keep checking throughout the games, and you can watch me slowly spinning around on my rogue slippy shoe. And who would want to miss that? Next time, I'll be taking on a sliding sport. That's bound to go well. Why did I say yes to this?